Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris Rutkowski will be hanging out if his throat holds out for After the Paracast, our premium show for members of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. I was focusing here, we can maybe continue this discussion, on the heavy emphasis that UFOs must be ET.
I would even go one step back. Even the definition of what is a UFO and not UFOs must be ET, but even proving that UFOs or UAP exist at all, because, you know, debunkers would say that there are absolutely no unexplained cases. Hardcore debunkers, there are no unexplained cases. There's always an explanation. And I think most ufologists take a slightly more moderate viewpoint that there are unexplained cases. The Canadian UFO Survey every year finds a small percentage, 1, 2, 5, so forth of cases that don't seem to have an explanation. But we don't go the next step and say that these are obviously proof of alien visitation. We're just not entirely sure of what these are. And if we look at the UFO problem as a problem that needs to be solved with detective work, you know, if anything, ufologists, field investigators should be more like Sherlock Holmes, trying to piece together what was seen. And the example, we talked about this earlier, that police, RCMP, for example, the investigating unit is the criminal investigations branch. Well, you're actually piecing together a crime scene. Somebody said that they had seen something, you know, hover over a field and take off. Well, you have to talk to the witness, interrogate the witness. You have to examine, get your yellow tape out and cordon off the area and try and understand what was seen. You want to talk to neighbors. You want to try and go into the background a little bit of the witness. Is this somebody who has seen things every night of their life? Are there satellite imagery from the area? Is there some drone footage that we can look at? Is there some traffic cam footage we can look at? That's the direction that ufology should be going. To try and piece together exactly what was seen using the new technology that we have now. It's trying to understand what was seen, and maybe the answer is not alien whatsoever. Maybe, you know, as has been suggested by some, these are sophisticated drones from a foreign power, or maybe it's some new atmospheric phenomenon, or some other kind of technology that we don't quite understand. But the point is to try and understand what was seen. You go with the presuppositions that aliens were involved or that there's no such thing as aliens, therefore not worth bothering about. This is a problem. 10% of the population believe they've seen UFOs, according to polls. That's enough of a huge number of people that suggests that it's something that affects many, many people, and it's a problem that should be addressed in society.
Well, about UFO reports, so I know that you wrote an article not so long ago about where should you report your sighting, and as I recall, there was no easy answer. But so is there a shortage of UFO reports now?
The two things. First of all, there is no easy answer. Where do you report a UFO to these days? And a shortage of UFO reports, well, I think we do. We're very close to releasing our 2021 Canadian UFO survey. Jeff Dittman, who crunches my numbers with me, he says we're just a matter of days away. There's been some problems with the web hoster, so we're trying to get that straightened out. But the numbers are going to show, I think, a decline in UFO reports from the previous year. Having said that, we have between 20 and 25,000 reports over the past 30 years or so. we're still talking of the order of a couple of UFO reports per day. And so there are reports out there, and they come in through a variety of ways, not just directly to me, but to, to Peter Davenport's National UFO Reporting Center, to MUFON, to a host of other groups. In fact, I think that we have something like 10 or 12 separate UFO reporting groups that we draw on for data. In addition, reports are coming through YouTube and Twitter and social media of all kinds. We might have even had a TikTok report last year. I'd have to check on that. But as far as obtaining information, it's much, much harder than it used to be, because there's so many ways that people can choose to send their reports. And if I was just pointing out to Kurt just earlier in the week, there's another UFO group that just started up that says send your reports to us and we'll investigate them. So how do you decide where to report anything? And in terms of the government, well, there may be this new task force in the United States looking at UAP, but they're really the report that they released was really just regarding some military personnel who had seen them over a very specific area over a very specific length of time. If somebody saw something in Arkansas today, how do they make that report to this task force? I don't think there is a way of doing it. They should probably send a report to MUFON or to Peter Davenport or to some other group, because there's there really is nobody taking a hard look at this. And even some of those groups, they may not have the investigating capability. The Center for UFO Studies, which used to be so popular and actually had placed stickers on the telephones in most sheriff's offices in the United States with their phone number to try and get people to report to them, they're sort of taking a back seat in terms of conducting research of previous cases, doing statistical studies, historical studies, and so forth. They're not doing as much actual investigation of UFO cases anymore. So there's a big shift in the nature of ufology, and it seems that people are willing to speculate and get into flame wars on Twitter. To them that's ufology, but ufology is actually doing hardcore research, not just Googling and not just looking on Wikipedia, but actually doing serious research. It's time for people to put up or shut up. You really want ufology to be considered a science? Well, act scientific. You want ufology to make advances and try and understand what's going on? Well, then make the effort. Don't shoot people down who are finding explanations or questioning the sources or questioning claims by some experts. Do the research, try and understand what's going on.
The problem, of course, here is if you have a dozen UFO groups, do they coordinate with one another? So this group has this set of sightings, this group has that set of sightings, or maybe the same sighting is reported to two different groups, but they take the information differently. How do you get a single focus?
Excellent point, and that's the problem. Most UFO groups are proprietary, that they don't share information. In fact, the Canadian UFO Survey ran into this problem very, very early on when I simply wanted dates, times, locations of UFO reports in various parts of the country that were investigated by various organizations, and to get people to agree to share even that amount of data was like pulling teeth. But eventually, and after a few years, we did get pretty well all the groups in Canada to agree to at least contribute to the Canadian UFO Survey. And the Canadian UFO Survey was able to function because people realized the value. No other study of that kind has ever been done up until fairly recently, when there have been a few more groups taking it on. But a completely national study looking at all groups contributing cases from the government, from civilians, from reports to media and so forth, to coordinate something like that was very, very difficult. But in the end, we have this huge amount of data that can be looked at. Now, here's the other problem. It's data from witnesses, and for the most part, there isn't a lot of, as I mentioned, you know, physical traces, analysis of some more tangible evidence. So it's really personal data, narratives and so forth.
More on the personal data and all the other evidence with Chris and Kurt and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So our guest, Chris Rutkowski, reciting the kinds and levels of evidence
about UFOs, but it's 99.9% people telling you what they saw.
Absolutely. And this is the problem, because Avi Loeb, who has this great idea, he's starting to coordinate a number of scientists into this Galileo project. He's actually stated that he's not looking at the anecdotes. He wants instrumented data. And that means that the tens of thousands of cases in Blue Book, the tens of thousands of cases in the Canadian UFO Survey and Peter Davenport's database, they're not going to be considered for data in such a project, because they're not instrumented for the most part. There's a number of projects looking now at all sky cameras, the new NICAP nodes or modes, I guess, where they have magnetic field detectors and other instruments on board. The theory is if you have enough of those, you might be able to gather enough data that you'd be able to track UFOs or better understand how things fly and move and so forth. That's still in its infancy. It's going to take years and years and years to gather enough data and have enough detection stations to make this work. And even then, to try and have things discerned between what's a false reading and what's a bona fide reading is very, very difficult. So it's a very complicated project. I certainly hope that it yields some fruit, but it's very, very difficult at this point.
Something we should address before we run out of time is that you touched on the reporting of Daniel Otis earlier in his Vice articles, and one of them had to do with the fact that you received reports from the Canadian government, at least at one point. Now, that was characterized by at least one critic as that you had inside information, you abused it for your own purposes. There's a lot of paranoia in the UFO field, so maybe we need to straighten out what was the real situation there?
Well, as I mentioned, I was working on my astronomy degrees, and I had been in Ottawa a number of times. I actually had a defense contract with the Department of National Defense, or rather with External Affairs. And I'd been down at the National Research Council, and I was speaking with some of the astronomers there. And in the early 90s, they're getting out of the UFO business because it was actually a line item to have somebody in the office keeping track of UFOs and taking phone calls and reports from people and so forth. And that didn't look so good. So they were trying to figure out a way to get out of this, except that people were still calling and by that time sending emails about UFOs and what are you supposed to do about that? And I was having lunch with one of the researchers, and I just sort of casually said, well, you can always give them to me. I'm conducting research and I'm doing this study, and maybe it's the type of thing that I could use in my studies. And I heard nothing more about it till the year 2000. And during that time, in 1995, the National Research Council and Royal Canadian Mounted Police stopped their agreement and stopped studying the and keeping track of UFO reports. And they had actually shifted it to Transport Canada, which is the Canadian equivalent of the FAA. And in the year 2000, I started getting UFO reports through government agencies, from the Department of Defense, from Transport Canada, service reports. Those are civilian instructions for reporting vital intelligence sightings, which are pilots seeing UFOs in the sky, and they are required to report them. And so I started getting these reports, and I duly was adding them into the Canadian UFO survey every year as I got them. And most of the UFO reports, as I mentioned from the Vice batch, most were explainable as stars and planes and planets and satellites and so forth, balloons and kites and you name it. But occasionally there are some interesting cases, and I have actually been posting some of those on Facebook. I've talked about them. I posted some on Twitter. I've talked about them and presented them at conferences. I've presented them at MUFON conferences and the UFO Congress and so forth, and I've talked about them on podcasts. So I'm certainly not withholding anything. In fact, just a few days ago or last week, I posted a case that I thought I had posted elsewhere previously, but I realized I had published it in a book, which was a case where the Prime Minister of Canada was flying in an aircraft, and his pilot reported seeing a UFO. So I made that document available, and had talked about it as long ago as when it happened in 2004. So, you know, because we've had this continuous influx of cases over the years, I've, you know, made no secret of the fact that I've, you know, been getting this, and I've been sharing the information with serious researchers and with the public of some of the more interesting cases. Now, what's happened is that I was approached by the University of Manitoba. The archivist there, who, you know, I'm fairly well known in this part of Canada, and they said, what are you going to do with all those UFO reports? And I said, well, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with them all. And they said, well, would you consider giving them to the archives? Now, this is before I had heard that David Marler was doing some of this. I apologized to Jan Aldridge, because I knew that he was collecting some of it, but the archives, you know, a university institution, an academic institution interested in UFOs, I thought this is a great thing to do, and so I have donated almost all my UFO report files now to the university, and they're slowly starting to digitize them. Now, not at the rate that Jan and Barry and David are doing. I mean, they do thousands and thousands and thousands in one fell swoop sometimes, but archives work a little bit slower than that. As a matter of fact, during the pandemic, they paused for a number of years. But the reports are in there, and my goal is to have all these reports available for people to look at. And Daniel Otis has been doing a great job. Actually, I've given him a bunch of documents as well. And in fact, he has another article coming out involving documents very, very soon. And the idea is to get the information out. Now, I mean, I don't know why people are, you know, were so paranoid about me hanging on to these reports, but I've been, you know, producing them and documenting them and including them in every year's Canadian UFO survey. So the information's out there. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. So, but I understand that. There's a, I don't know if relationship is the right word, but you were recently called upon by a Canadian politician to be a source of UFO information. So what was that about, and what happened?
Well, I've actually been approached a couple of times by politicians to brief them on UFOs. The first time actually dates back into the 70s, early 80s, something like that.
Let's break it here, folks. We'll learn more about his encounters with politicians. With Chris and Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News.
According to CNN, New Yorkers don't feel safe at home anymore. Residents say they're overwhelmed with fear and anxiety as the NYPD struggles to rein in crime. The city has recorded a 42.7% increase in major crimes compared to the same period in 2021. According to New York City Police Department, for New Yorkers, the fear of ending up as another crime statistic has cast a shadow over their city. Water levels in Lake Mead have reached their lowest since 1971, uncovering one of the original intake faults hidden since it was first installed. It is currently at 1,055 feet above sea level, or about 30% capacity, and research has suggested that it could drop by as much as 30 feet in the next decade. This is USA Radio News. NBC News reports one dead, four injured in a shootout at the Mississippi Mudburg Festival. Two people described as juveniles were detained for questioning, although the sheriff said he believes that they have knowledge of what happened and who was involved. Three of the wounded people were stabilized at a hospital. The condition of the fourth person was not available. Officials urged residents in northern New Mexico to leave ahead of a rapidly growing blaze. More than 1,000 people were battling the Calf Canyon and Hermit's Peak fires. Officials are investigating what may have started the flames. ABC News reports that 15 people were injured in a pedal pub that overturned in Atlanta. This was a single vehicle accident, Atlanta Police Officer Steve Avery has stated. A pedal pub with multiple passengers were trying to make a turn, but apparently going too fast and have turned over. Two out of the 15 people involved were critically injured, the Atlanta Fire and Rescue Department has stated. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We go back in time here, and you had an encounter, a close encounter, I guess, with a politician. How did that start?
With a politician. This goes back into the late 70s, early 80s, where I was, I had a phone call from a politician's aide asking, you know, the politician had an interest in the UFOs that were being seen in our area at the time. He was a local politician. And would I be interested in coming out to the house and talking with him about it? So I did. And it was just, you know, just over a coffee and told him what I was hearing about and said, thank you very much. And that was it. And I didn't think anything of it. But the more recent ones were a little more interesting, where a Canadian politician who has gone public about UFOs, his aide contacted me last year. His name is Larry McGuire, as a member of the Canadian Parliament, and he has gone on record being concerned about UAPs and nuclear sites in Canada. In fact, he wrote a request to the committee within the Canadian government for information about UAPs that are seen over nuclear sites, with the idea that, you know, is this a secure process, what UAPs are being seen, and so forth. As preparation for that, he wanted to pick my brain, so we had a Zoom call, and I gave a presentation to him for about an hour or so, talking about UFOs in Canada and some of the information that I had. Curiously, that same week I was contacted by a senator, a Canadian senator, who also wanted me to discuss UFOs. So, you know, the interest is there. The latest is that this story is continuing, that the committee got back to this politician, to Larry McGuire, and said that we don't actually have any information on UFOs or UAPs, sort of very dismissive. But he's not stopping there. He's going to continue to press on this. So right now there's a Canadian politician who's going public about concerns about UAPs flying over Canada. You know, we know about the American politicians, about Reid and Rubio and so forth. Well, we've got a Canadian one who's going public about it now, too.
When they ask you, what are their questions?
Well, can you tell us about some of your findings about UFOs? What are the numbers involved? What's the distribution? Are there, you know, do I think that there's enough of concern that there should be a formal committee to investigate? And I certainly say yes. I believe that there should be some sort of department or office that investigates reports of UAPs and reports to some department within the Canadian government so it can report to the public, because this is something that affects so many people. I mentioned earlier 10% of the Canadian population believe they've seen UFOs. We have somewhere around 2 or 3 reports per day in Canada. You multiply it by 10 for the United States, so I know that's a lot of people who are seeing things. You know, if you're looking at a demographic voters base, you know, you might be able to garner a few votes if you, you know, tried to please some of the people who believe that they had seen some UFOs. It's difficult to say what the motivation is. We do know that for the most part, I had been receiving reports from National Defense and the RCMP up until about a year and a half ago or so, oddly enough coinciding with Daniel Otis's filing of requests, official requests for information. But the number of cases has dropped off, and I think it's more of a hot potato situation. I think that we've got UFOs are not really something that government departments want to deal with. And, you know, given the world situation, it certainly is low down on the priority compared to some of the other stuff that's going on. However, I do note that there was a news report just the other day that Joe Biden is very concerned about drones being flown by foreign powers over American sites of various kinds, including nuclear sites. So, you know, maybe it is a little more relevant these days. Maybe it's time to pay a little more attention to this phenomenon from a defense standpoint and forget about the extraterrestrial theory altogether. But the fact is that people are reporting UAP or UFOs, and somebody should be looking into it. And I believe that the scientific community, I agree with Avi Loeb completely, that the scientific community should take a leading role in this, that there should be a concerted effort. We should come up with decent methodology. But I think that civilian researchers should be involved as well, because there's a lot of people out there who are very, very smart with a lot of experience who might have some great insight. So I think a joint committee involving citizens, civilians, as well as people with perhaps military backgrounds at some sort of level within a government department, should be formed so that we get to the bottom of what UAP and or UFOs are.
But really, when we look at what's happening here in the UFO business in America, we see people like Senator Rubio advocating for this. And my impression of him is that he wants to run for president. And therefore, he must think somewhere along the line that this serves a political purpose.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, you know, you might be able to pander to some of your population, to some of your demographics, if you talk about UFOs. I think, you know, if a politician, for example, is failing in the polls, one great tactic would be to start talking UFOs and say that you're going to reveal all if you're elected, and that hasn't happened. So, you know, that means that there isn't anything to be revealed about UFOs.
That was the case for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
She did say that. She was saying that on some of the all-night TV shows. And what surprised me during the 2016 campaign is that Trump didn't seize on that as more evidence of crooked or crazy Hillary.
Yeah, and that in itself is kind of curious. Like, why that would have been a perfect thing to jump on. So, I don't know. I don't think that the government has little green men in pickle jars, but at the same time, they have a lot more information. I mean, the fact that we really don't have any information about American UFO reports at an official level after Blue Book to the mid 2000s suggests that there's something going on, but where those files are and what departments were involved, we simply don't have that information.
I just wonder if they're even organized enough to do that. They may just look at a UFO report and say, well, it's not a threat to national security. We'll deal with it later. And later never arrives.
I agree with that. I think it's been a hot potato. Nobody seems to know what to do with it. That certainly has been the case in Canada. And this goes back to the point of this whole podcast, that Canada serves as a sort of a template for what is going on in the United States. The Canadian scientific community, the military establishment really didn't know what to do with UFOs. And in this book by Matthew Hayes that I mentioned, Search for the Unknown, he details in great detail, looking through all the documents that he was able to find, that the people who were sort of by default in charge of the UFO investigations and research really didn't think much of the whole thing and did as little as possible. So it's certainly possible that something analogous was happening in the United States and perhaps continues to happen. But with the push these days for studies of UAP, when you have U.S. Navy pilots seeing things that they can't explain, and other pilots saying that there were things going on as well. There's a push to try and understand what's going on, and whether the task force was created to get to the bottom, the real bottom of what's going on, or just something to placate some politicians, I guess it remains to be seen. We're overdue for a report from that task force. We're probably overdue for two reports.
We've got one more segment of the show, and then we'll do After the Paracast with Chris. And with Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, yes, you just brought up something here. The Pentagon UAP Task Force report came out in June 25th. 2021, that of course being the day after the anniversary of Kenneth Arnold's sighting. There was supposed to be a follow-up report, and then the Pentagon budget sets up still another UFO group, and we hear nothing from that. But the question is here, why aren't politicians screaming, where are our UFO reports, or are they just happy that it was set aside?
Well, it's interesting that things have really calmed down. I mean, you look at ufology right now, there's no really big UFO sightings that are making the news. People seem to be waiting for whatever this report has to say. There's people going on podcasts and vidcasts all the time talking about, you know, something's coming, something really big is coming. John Greenwald and others are finding some really interesting documents where they're playing footsie about trying about to deny that certain documents exist, and then some are going to be found. And I think John found that, what was it, that Obama's files of something like 10,000 or 12,000 references to UFOs in the Obama papers. I mean, that's amazing. That's incredible when you think about it. But at the same time, it's going to take at least 10 to 15 years to sort through that and get them all released. So it's a real amazing time, but the UFO reports themselves seem to be far and few between. Now, does that mean that ufology is dead? No, I think it just means that ufology is in an interesting phase now. I think people are desperate for more information. They're desperate for some facts, and hopefully in the next little while that some facts will be finally coming out.
We mentioned that there are shortage of UFO reports, but so if someone sees is the lowest quality report, or at least the way it's usually discussed, are lights in the sky. Since those could be aircraft or anything, is that one of the few kind of UFO reports that is not necessary to report?
I would say no. I think it's worthwhile reporting lights in the sky. The reason I say that is that A light in the sky is on some object. Now, whether it's a balloon or a satellite or an aircraft, the way that some objects are tracked is simply by the appearance of them in the sky. When Sputnik went up in the 50s, people were encouraged to look up in the sky and report the passage of Sputnik overhead. And by getting many, many observations of Sputnik flying overhead, carefully monitoring the time and direction and the brightness and so forth, it was possible to really understand everything from the shape of the satellite to its mass, to its orbit, and so forth. So a simple observation of a light in the sky can reveal a great deal. And the more cases you get, the better. In the case of a fireball, for example, or a meteor, bright meteor, this is very valuable. The American Meteor Society has a page where you can report your meteor or fireball sighting, because that's how scientists can understand and track meteors and try and understand the distribution of meteors, and perhaps there's comets that they're associated with and so forth. So I would say that lights in the sky are worth reporting. Now, in terms of information content, they may not be as spectacular as a dome disc shaped object that lands and takes off again and leaves behind marks in the ground. But as part of ufology and part of the study of objects that people are seeing that they don't understand, I think it's still very, very valuable to report such things.
There was a question from a listener. Now, we touched on this, but he wanted to know, how do you think the extraterrestrial hypothesis as origin of UFOs holds up after 75 years?
Wow, yeah, 75 years. We still don't have proof that aliens are here. I mean, certainly some contactees would dispute that, and I know some people who are really into the UAP thing who are convinced that they're alien spacecraft because they're not made here on Earth. We've proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But the reality is we still don't have enough proof to say that UFOs or some UFOs are alien spacecraft. I mean, there is certainly one explanation, but we don't have the proof. But the ETH itself does raise some very interesting questions. How did we get here? Well, I saw a report today that says that the oceans on Europa, you know, a satellite of a planet elsewhere in the solar system, are looking more and more promising for having extraterrestrial life. We think that extraterrestrial life is fairly common in our galaxy, but the distances are prohibitive in terms of travel. But it's possible that if there's an advanced civilization out there, that they can bend the laws of physics, not break the laws of physics, but bend the laws of physics so that they can travel from one part of the galaxy to the other. So I think the possibility of aliens being out there and traversing the galaxy, you know, the probability is not zero in any way. I think it's a good possibility. I note that the trailer for Avatar is dropping fairly soon, the second Avatar movie. What's it called? The Water World or The World of Water or something. The second movie comes out in December, and it tells the story of advanced civilization on the moon of circling a planet of Alpha Centauri.
By the way, the official title is The Way of Water.
Avatar, The Way of Water.
The Way of Water, which is kind of a curious title, but then, look, we've been waiting, what, 5-6 years for this movie? More?
Right.
25 years?
Based on the idea that it's possible that there is some life on this moon of circling a planet on a star that's not that far away. So, you know, we have all this great speculation out there, and it allows us to, you know, open our eyes and then try and have this recapture the sense of wonder that we're not alone in the universe, because let's face it, we've made a mess of this place, and we may need some help.
And so, therefore, we have a Uhura from Star Trek, the current Uhura, playing the role of a fish woman on another planet?
Yes.
Boy, she gets a wide variety of roles there.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a third Uhura, by the way. That's in the new TV series Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
It's coming soon, yeah.
Coming soon. When you hear this, it will be here in just a few days, where it features the characters in the original failed pilot for Star Trek, the original series. That was Captain Pike. Number one, played by Majel Barrett, who became, of course, the mother of Counselor Troy and the computer voice. And Mr. Spock being the same guy. By the way, we're just about out of time here, but Chris will be back for After the Paracast. But for now, if we want to find more of your stuff, Chris Rutkowski, where do we go?
Boy, have I got stuff. Certainly, I'm on Facebook under my name, Chris Rutkowski. I have a blog called UForum at blogspot.com. The Canadian UFO Survey is at survey.canadianuforeport.com. I'm on Twitter. I've got a bunch of books on Amazon, and I have to say that I, according to my publisher, my next book, Canada's UFOs Declassified, is supposed to be out in May. So keep an eye out for that sucker.
And, of course, you can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. The Paracast can also be found on Facebook. Two places, The Paracast and The Paracast Fan Club. Pick your poison or whatever. We also offer branded merchandise at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. We offer four different logos for the Paracast. Pick the shirt you want, the cap, the throw pillow, etc. Great merchandise, great prices, theparacast.shop. And don't forget that Chris Rutkowski will be back for After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature of the Paracast Plus. Check the Paracast.plus for more and a quick sign-up method. And by the way, we also offer this radio show free of the network ads. How about that for subscribers of the Paracast Plus? We also offer a special deal, such a deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, and we'll give you a 20% discount on subscriptions for 5 years or a lifetime for the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Chris Rutkowski, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Glad to be here.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR.
PPR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.